Hi Razor community, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Razor Sharp Show, where we all hang out to stay sharp. We are your hosts, Ray Milodoni and Matt Romania. Matt, can you share why our podcast exists?
Our podcast exists to educate, inspire, and motivate you to help you reach your goals and make a positive impact in the world.
That's right. And we just love making our podcast every week and want to thank you, our listeners, for all the ongoing support you have shown. If this is your first time listening, well, welcome to the Razor community.
So if you want to move the needle forward and get closer to your goals, stick around as you're going to enjoy this.
Are you prepared to grow your business today? Stay tuned for what's about to occur. This is the Razor Sharp Show with your host, Ray Milodoni. Stay tuned as Ray invites business owners and entrepreneurs onto the show from all over the world to discuss how they are owning this economy and how you can as well. Are you ready to sharpen your saw? Here's your host, Ray Milodoni.
Hi Madonna, welcome to the Razor Sharp Show.
Good morning, how are you, Ray?
I'm very well on this beautiful Melbourne day.
A bit cold, but the sun's shining. I'm looking out the window and it's trying to peep through, so spring is on its way, hopefully.
It is, fingers crossed. I'm very looking forward to it after this winter.
Oh, it's been too long, too cold. For some reason, this winter has just gone on too long.
It has felt like that, it has. But let's get into the Razor Sharp Show. Share with the community what you do.
I'm the director of Melrose International. Melrose International are grant consultants. We're independent consultants, so we don't work for the government. We work for you, our clients, and we specialise in two grants. One of them is the Research and Development Tax Incentive, and the other is the Export Marketing and Development Grant. They're two specific grants that are known as given grants. They aren't competitive, so you're not competing with other companies for a small slice of government money. You may get $1,000, you may get $500, you may get nothing. The two grants we work in, they are actually given grants. If you've spent the money on eligible expenditure, then you are entitled to it back. So love what I do, helping people.
Excellent, excellent. And so is this something that you have you studied this as a background, or how did you fall into helping people get kind of their own money back from tax incentives and grants?
Absolutely. I'm not trained. I'm not an accountant. We have an in-house CPA who does all the figures and the fact-finding. But where I've come into it is from the beauty industry. I used to import cosmetics and export cosmetics. I used to produce my own skincare and makeup range, and I had no idea that these grants were available when I was going through all of this. And if only I'd known, it would have made the huge difference to my business. But a girlfriend came to me and she was applying for one of these grants. She was in the beauty industry. And she said, you know, can you help me? You're a beauty editor, because I used to write for Consumer and Trade Beauty magazine. She said, so you've got the gift of the word and the writing. So she presented it to me to ask me to help her. And I was like, my God, where have these been and what are these? And my industry doesn't know about this. I kind of have to get out there now and shout it to the rooftop. So a lot of different incarnations of my life and through my business has led me to where I am now. And I think I'm in a really nice position to help those, because it wasn't around when I was doing my thing.
And so as a business owner or an entrepreneur or someone who's kind of, you know, running and working really hard, how do they get around this type of incentive, and how do they know whether there is any money for them to be collecting back? Like, what's the starting point?
Absolutely. Well, I guess starting point is to hop on my website and there's an eligibility checklist. With the research and development grant, you need to have spent $20,000 on eligible expenditure in a financial year. And your company structure needs to be a proprietary limited. With the export grant, you can be any type of structure, proprietary limited, sole trader, trust, whatever may be, and you need to have spent $15,000 on eligible expenditure in a financial year. So they're the two main areas that need to be checked off first. And then once that's all done and it looks like we're on the right path, we then start gathering all the information that we need, and we look at all your financials prepared by your accountant, your P&L, and we look at where your money's gone from that year and how we can claw it back for that eligible spend on the R&D or the export.
Awesome, awesome. And so when we talk, let's talk about the R&D one first, the research and development. What qualifies as research and development expenditure that you can then get some incentive back for?
Certainly. Firstly, we need to prove the innovation. So we need to have that scientific bent. We need to prove that trial and error, that testing. We work with a hypothesis, and we need to prove or disprove that hypothesis. So it's unknown information. Right. So certainly the internet can provide so much information on how to bake a pie, how to change a tire, whatever may be. But if you are going beyond that, or if you can't find the information you need to prove or disprove your hypothesis in your business, then that is where that R&D can kick in. And it's related to product as well as service. A lot of people think, well, I'm not producing. Yeah, a lot of people think I'm not producing an actual physical product, but they have a service. So the processes and the steps in identifying what can be done, what can't be done, trying to find out and understand things that you don't know before you actually then prove or disprove that they can work or can't work. So if that's the kind of thing you are doing, if you're innovation, you're developing something, you're reformulating something, then we can claim back things such as staff wages, percentage of, your contractors, travel, if you travel overseas to source raw ingredients or raw material, within a portion, your running costs of your business, so your rent, your overhead, such as your utilities, gas, electricity, phone bill, any contractors, that assist you with any outside work or any outside testing, any prototypes, any samples. So there's quite a few things that we can actually pull together to get back. And you'll get back roughly 43.5% of your spend.
Wow, yeah, that's so it's quite a big chunk. I wasn't expecting that.
Absolutely. With that too, I must explain that that 43.5% is relative to your profit or loss. So if you're in a big profit, that 43.5% will be uplifted against any tax payable. So you won't actually get a rebate. It will help you reduce any tax owing. But if you're in a loss, and a lot of small startup businesses are, if you're in a loss, that 43.5% will be handed back as a cash rebate. So it really is a wonderful, wonderful incentive. It's to help incentivize Australia to produce, and you know, our mineral resources and our oil and that sort of things tend to dry it up. So it's like, what is Australia doing as a country to actually incentivize, you know, new development and new products and world firsts? So the government feels that they can assist in that respect. And then once that R&D is all done, you have that product or service ready, you then want to take it to the world. So we can then kick in with the export grant after that as well. Or they can run concurrently. If you're exporting while you're developing, that's fine as well.
And the export grant, is that more of like a kind of money to help get started or to assist, or like what part of the life cycle of exporting does that kind of kick in?
Certainly both these grants are retrospective, so you need to spend the money first and then we claw it back. It's not given to you up front. It's your money if you've spent it. We work out how much you've spent on those eligible areas and then we claw it back for you. With the export grant, once again, it's that your spend throughout that financial year on activities or situations to help you get your product or service to the world. So things like overseas travel, again, if you travel overseas to have meetings with people that, you know, you're hoping will buy your product from you, then you would get 50% back of that trip. Every day you're away, up to 21 days, you'll get $350 per day. It's like a per diem. If you engage anyone overseas for marketing assistance or any social media, any bloggers, if you do any print media advertising, 50% of the cost to reach that overseas market is what you would get back. The export grant doesn't cover New Zealand or North Korea. So I don't know why they've put poor New Zealand and North Korea in the same bundle, but for different reasons. I think Australians believe that New Zealand's so close and was once part of us that we kind of have a different trade agreement with that country. So that's not eligible for export reimbursement, and then neither is North Korea.
Excellent. So some of the Razor community might be listening going, maybe there's some money on the table. How many years far back can you kind of go back into this, or is it only relevant for the last year that was the financial year?
Certainly. With the R&D grant, we're currently August in 2017, so we can go back as far as the financial year 16-17. Right. We can only claim that 1 year retrospective. With the export grant, your first grant allows you to combine two financial years. So if you've done a lot of business in 15-16, 16-17, you can lump them together. Moving forward, you might think, I'm going to spend more down the track, so you might want to wait and lump 16-17, 17-18 financial year together. So that first grant of the eight with the export grant, there's only eight with the export grant, that first grant you can combine 2 years to assist you. R&D, it's ongoing. Whenever you're doing things, you're reinventing things, you're reformulating, you can pick that grant up. There's no cap on that. But with the export grant, there is a cap on 8 years.
Perfect. Well, let's get to know you a little bit better. How did you make your first dollar?
I was a Sunday checkout chick at Harboard Motors and Accessories. It was a sort of DIY, sort of bikey car yard down in Harboard in Sydney. I'm originally from Sydney, living in Melbourne now. But yes, first job was checkout chick at Harboard Motors. Loved it.
Excellent. And did you kind of always know that you were wired for business?
Pretty much. From the time I left school, I went into that creative sphere for a while. I did hairdressing and makeup artistry, but from the age of about 17, I became a freelance makeup artist and fashion stylist, and I've pretty much never worked for anyone else again. So around that 17, I've always kind of been self-employed, taken little projects on for people throughout the time, but pretty much always had my own business.
Yeah, and do you think that's something you're kind of born with, or was it your upbringing that kind of had you in an environment, or just a bug that you kind of caught and ran with?
I'm not really sure, because my mother and father were total opposites. My father worked 7 days a week. He had a pharmacy and he was a very, very hard worker. We never took family holidays or anything like that. But mum was that perfect stay-at-home mum who'd, you know, have beautiful cakes and food all laid out for us at afternoon tea. And, you know, we'd have home beautiful cooked dinners every night. So she was that real stay-at-home mum with not really much drive or ambition except for her children, whereas dad on the other side was constantly working. So I guess I got a little bit of the bug from each of them.
Yeah. Excellent. In the middle and bit of inspiration from either side. Yeah, that's
perfectly said. Yeah.
Excellent. And so has there been a book that you've read or listened to that has changed your life, and why?
Look, anything by Louise Hay, I absolutely love her messages. She just kind of reminds me of a place where we should all come from, be it in business or personal. I think we should all come from that pace, you know, that place of, you know, peace and love and wanting to give to others rather than trying to take. So definitely Louise Hay. I have just finished The One Thing by Gary Keller as well. And Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss. That was a really good, it's kind of like a Bible. It's a big, thick one that you just kind of flick through whenever. And Key Person of Influence by Daniel Priestley. That was a really good one as well.
Yeah, right. Excellent. There's some really interesting books there, you know, especially, you know, the one that I did read The One Thing, is that what it was?
The One Thing by Gary Keller.
Yeah, that was a quite interesting one. And he started a podcast after writing that book as well, and I got into the podcast as well. So that was really interesting as well, to just get around the content more and more.
Absolutely.
Excellent. And obviously you've been in business, you've kind of, you know, you've gone from a lot of creative spaces and now you're helping a lot of businesses as well. I guess over the years that you've been working with a lot of different people, is there been something that you've changed in your business that was very small but had a really big positive outcome?
Outsourcing. Wow. As you realize after a while, you bang your head all the time and you realize I can't do this all myself and I can't do it well myself. So outsourcing to find those key people that can do what you need so much better than you and so much faster than you, in the long run, just saves you so much time and energy and heartache and financially. So, yes, definitely outsource to those that can do it better and quicker than you.
Yeah, excellent. And I know outsourcing could be one of those things that people don't see as a small task. Did you find that doing the outsourcing thing wasn't as big and as challenging as what you thought it might have been before you did it?
Absolutely. At first, you feel it's insurmountable. Where am I going to find this perfect person that can do it as well as I can, that could do it for a really good price? You just think, you know, these people don't exist, but they do. Put it out there, and it comes back to that Louise Hay philosophy. Put it out there in the universe of what you want, and you'd be amazed at who just shows up or knocks on your door or phones, or who you actually come across in your field and your network.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. And that's really good. I think a really good point about that is to just be really clear and put it out there, because it can come back, and that sometimes you might be sitting there thinking that mountain is really hard to climb, but then you start doing it, taking some action, and it quite just happens.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just be careful what you wish for sometimes. You get what you ask for, and you don't really think it through too well.
Yeah, love that, love that. So I want to get go a little bit deeper into the work that you do. I guess, what's an example of an R&D project? Like, because I think, you know, sometimes as business owners, we can kind of always think that we're innovating and we're pioneering and we're being Australia's best and first and number one. But maybe we look behind us and other people are doing the same. So what's an example of a project that you've worked on, if you can share, that could give us a little bit of a nice, an example of some of the things that are actually happening that's innovating and changing something that can get some, some incentive tax refunds?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. I work a lot in the beauty sphere. Obviously, that's where I've come from. And you think, well, look, face creams have been around forever, moisturizer, lipstick, mascara. How can any of that be different? A lot of my companies are innovating with new raw ingredients and new different products. So if you are the first, so yes, you're creating a moisturizer. But if you are the first to trial a new superfood in it, if you're the first to trial a new super ingredient, if you start playing with percentages and proportions and ratios of ingredients, if you're taking out some of the nasties or some of the basic ingredients that the general moisturizers contain, if you start playing with those ingredients, then that is innovation, because you don't know the result. So when you think, if your project is R&D, if you don't know the outcome, then there's pretty good chance that what you are doing to achieve that outcome would be R&D. I work with a lot of chocolate companies. I love chocolate. work with a lot of chocolate companies. See, you attract what you like, so be careful. You know, and a lot of them are working with raw ingredients. So raw, vegan, you know, take the dairy out of chocolate, take the milk and the sugar and the cream, what do you have? You know, so these people are innovating with their ingredients. They're innovating with different temperatures. They're tempering their chocolate in a different way before, you know, they're rising temperatures or they're lowering temperatures. They're adding ingredients that to that chocolate. Will it make it too thick? Will it make it too runny? Will it set properly? What will the consistency be like? What will the taste be like? I've also got a lot of wine and gin and vodka companies, and I like wine and gin and vodka too.
Surprise!
yeah, I go out and I get the ones that I like. But they're, you know, they're doing some beautiful, innovative stuff in Tasmania. The whiskey area is incredible. We've got a lot of boutique breweries doing some amazing beer here in Australia. So they're mixing new ingredients. I've got a company that's putting lavender into beer to see what that will do with the hops and the yeast and how that will affect it, and, you know, how much gas to put in it and how much sugar to remove. And so it's that process of unknown to get to a point where you either go, yep, this is a new innovative recipe and I'm going to go into production. Or if you spend all that time and money to get to somewhere and go, my God, this lavender and beer, what was I thinking? I'm going to shelve it, never work. But they've spent money up to that point. They can still claim that back because their hypothesis has been either proven, yes, lavender and beer will work, or their hypothesis has been disproven, lavender and beer will never work.
Wow. So that's quite interesting as well, that even if the outcome is of, you know, not successful, or you decide to shelve it and it wasn't, you know, a great idea, that you can still get kind of, you know, looked after for that, as opposed
Absolutely.
To. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Because
really you were trying. You know, you tried, you put your money in to try and create something here in Australia for you know, Australians, and therefore for that export channel eventually. So yes, you need to be, I think you need to be compensated for your time and energy and effort, absolutely.
It sounds very exciting. It seems like you get to hang out with a lot of thought leaders and people who are innovating and pioneering and kind of changing the world in some way.
I love it. It must be really exciting. One of my dairy companies produces incredible, you know, dairy and cheese and wonderful products, but they're also working with the CSIRO for a sheep vaccination. So, I mean, one day, you know, in the chocolate factory, you know, being sort of Willy Wonka, and then the next day I'm kind of got gumboots and out there on the farm looking at vaccinations and, you know, the scientific test tubes and everything. So, yeah, never a dull day.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting, a good way of being around a lot of firsts and so forth. And also, I guess over the last few years we've seen a lot of crowdfunding and I wanted kind of to cover off the whole Kickstarter and all that type of, you know, there's a lot of innovation and people inventing new things and so forth. If someone is exploring that whole Kickstarter side of things, can that also qualify for this type of grant and incentive?
Well, if they get money, that's fine, but it's with these two grants, it's what they then spend it on.
Right.
So they might, you know, amass $50,000 from a crowdfunding campaign. If they spend that $50,000 on eligible activity, then yes, we can claim that money back for them. So however they got their money, be it a loan from the bank or a leg up from mum and dad or from crowdfunding, it's not so much where the money's come from, it's how they spend the money.
Right.
So that's where the R&D and the export come into play.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. And I think it's such a great way of putting that thought process into Australia to be very innovative and to invent and to create. Because, you know, there has been some really amazing apps and websites and things coming from Australia, and people kind of forget what Australia's like, but there is so many people innovating on, especially in the ag world, you know, the agriculture, there's been so much pioneering and firsts and breakthroughs and so forth, and we kind of get forgotten about that.
Absolutely. Well, we invented the black box. Australia invented the black box. We invented actually note paper. I don't know if you realise that, but the actual very first notepad was invented here in Australia. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, not Google, but what was we didn't invent Google, but what was the you should know this. You're a bit of a techie geek, aren't you?
I am a techie geek, but I don't know where you're going with this one.
I'll have to get back to you on that one. I'll have to do a little edit or something. But, it was
– I know we invented the heels hoist.
I have to come back. I've lost – oh, yeah, well, I know we invented that one. That was a good one. But I think we had something to do with liquid paper as well, or post-it notes. And
Some really
amazing stuff. So we should be proud.
Yeah, that's right. But we don't celebrate that a lot around here. You know, I think, you know, it is a little bit of that tall poppy syndrome where it's like you can't be known to invented something, or you know, if you're pioneering it, you're crazy. You know, you're one of those crazy people that's trying to change what's been happening for years and so forth. And yeah, I think there is a little bit of that kind of goes on, that sometimes people go, oh, just do it the way that everyone's done it for hundreds of years. There's no need to change anything.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. We're the nutty professors if we're trying to reinvent the wheel, but if we don't, we're just going to stay where we are, and I think it's not the best place where we are at the moment.
Yeah,
we need to really forge forward and do something.
Yeah, and I love going, discovering a YouTube video or something on Facebook where it's like a 13-year-old has invented a way of removing pollution from the ocean. I'm just like, oh my goodness, what have I been doing with my life?
Absolutely love it. Yeah, there's some incredible people out there.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. Well, let's jump into the razor round.
Okay.
Who has been someone that's been a mentor for you?
Personally, a very dear friend of mine, Olivia Newton-John. She's been in my life for about 25 years, and I just love what she stands for. I see what she goes through on a day-to-day basis, and just the way she handles herself and how she thrives and still so successful. And yeah, nothing phases her. It's just her energy is just so. She personally and professionally, she's been a big mentor. But really professionally, I've kind of gone it on my own. I've had pearls of wisdom from wonderful people, but I've just kind of, you know, thought to myself, I want to do this, so I'm going to try it.
Love that. And I've got people that I know who work at the Olivia Newton-John Research Cancer Centre, and they are so surprised when she just decides to visit one day and go visit the patients. And people go, doesn't she have better things to do? And I'm like, yeah, this is the better things that she's doing. You know, she's at a point of her life that she can choose to spend time with people and be very caring and organise music events and things like that for the people in the centre that are in unfortunate parts of their life. So very, very true to what you said. I've got first-hand experience too. I don't know her, but, you know, I know people who do spend some time with her, and they're just always amazed at her authenticity. Yeah. You know, she's not faking it. She's not doing it for PR or anything like that. It's purely from the heart. So
she's an absolute angel. What you see is what you get with her. She's very inspiring.
Yeah, love that, love that. Might have to get her onto the show.
See what I can do.
Yeah, excellent. And so what's something that you know now that you wish you knew 5 years ago?
Oh, everything's going to be all right.
Yes.
You know, you're in the mud and it's all falling in on you, and you just remember this too will pass. You know, things don't stay where they are. They do get better.
Excellent, excellent. And if there's one thing that you could change in the world right now, what would that be?
The wealth divide. I've just come back from Dubai and Paris, and, you know, the rich are so rich and the poor are so poor, and there's no need. Mm. There's no need. There's enough for everybody.
Yes.
It's just being distributed incorrectly. So I'd like to bring everybody into a nice even keel.
Yes, yes. I know that would be a nicer – I look at that all the time as well and just think, you know, how has this happened? You know,
it's happening here in Australia. It always used to happen overseas in the third world countries, but you look at the tent city situation in Sydney and, you know, you see the homeless here in Melbourne, streets in winter at nighttime, and your heart just breaks and you think, why? How has this happened? How has it, you know, got so out of kilter?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I work in Paran, and there's a bit of a you know, homeless problem there, and there's a few shelters and missions and so forth helping. But you just look and you think, how are there so many people? How have we let this happen as a race?
Yeah.
Like, how are we not caring for each other? You know, that's right. So it is definitely a great one. And I think about it all the time of how can I just do that one little thing. And you know, sometimes it is about just helping someone buy a coffee or something like that, but that's not enough. You know, there needs to be something more done behind the scenes, you know.
Absolutely. It's the root of the problem. You know, how has it gotten this bad without us realizing?
Yeah, and so many try and go for funding or for, you know, housing and so forth, and they just can't. There's not enough available. And then you have a lot of investors, which are the wealthy, who have empty houses and they're just sitting on them to cash cow type of thing.
Yeah, it's the government offices that lay vacant in the city that really get my goat.
Yeah, yeah, so many wasted spaces, you know, locked up.
Don't get me started, right?
Let's move on then.
We'll do another show about this.
Well, I've had the idea of interviewing homeless people and hearing their stories as well. So I think that would be great. I know. That's why I don't know if I could compose myself to stay on focus, you know. But anyway, so what's an app or a website that you need to visit daily to survive?
I'm ashamed to admit it. I hang my head in shame at Facebook.
It's becoming
for many different reasons.
It's becoming a very popular answer. Why do you use Facebook these days?
Yeah, exactly. Get straight to it.
It is unfortunately where everyone's hanging out. It's very easy to get people's attention. It's very easy to message people. They've done a very good job of hooking everyone in and making it part of our core daily life.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a voyeur, though, on Facebook. I don't post much, but I like to kind of watch.
You're one of them.
Yeah, I am. You can cut that bit out, can't you?
No. Okay. So what's the best bit of advice that you've ever received?
Oh, anticipation is greater than realization.
Okay. Go a bit deeper on that one. Anticipation is better than
realization.
Realization.
I think it was my mother, but I think she was talking more about boys and sex, like don't have sex because the anticipation is greater than the realization.
Yeah,
so I think she was trying to...
You've really cleared it up then.
keep me away from all that sort of stuff, but it's kind of stuck in my craw, and I kind of, in different situations in business and life and, personal, professional, you kind of sometimes that anticipation is greater than the realization.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a very common theme for entrepreneurs as well, where they've got a really good idea and they feel like they've got a burning desire to make this new app happen or this new website, and then they launch and they're like, oh, well, that's pretty boring, or that was not the hype I was going to get, and it might have just been better to stay in that little fantasy world.
Yeah, it's kind of that, you know, deflated after it's done. You kind of, that honeymoon period's over, and you get that, come back from a holiday and you're quite depressed because it's like, okay, well, now what happens, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Another holiday.
Exactly. Plan the next one.
That's it. Now, we like to keep things really fresh here at the Razor Sharp Show. What's something that you've learnt in the last 7 days?
Oh, I want to start fishing with a net, not a rod.
Okay.
For attracting clients, I was kind of doing one-on-ones and, you know, being that nice kind of, you know, slow-paced personal. Mm. But now I kind of decided that, you know, if you go fishing with a big net, you can kind of catch more at the one time. So it's more about time management.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for a long time I was out there just casting that single rod and catching the fish, but now I kind of want to go big and deep, come on the Razor Sharp Show, so I can reach a bigger audience, but I'm still just outputting that one bit of energy.
Yeah, love that. I'm very big on return on effort, and if you're going to have to say the same thing at a one-on-one level, then do it at a one-on-many level. And that's
yes.
You know, we run workshops about podcasting, and it's the same thing. It's, I'd rather work with 15 people in a room saying the same words than working one-on-one and having to say the same words 15 times. You know?
Absolutely. So, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Great bit of advice. I think Razor Sharp community should kind of be thinking about how they can apply that in their own life as well. Is there a task that you're doing over and over and over that you could, you know, do as a one-to-many, or record a video and put into a course or things like that? It's a good
Absolutely.
Way of thinking. So love that bit of advice. Now, if someone was to write a book about you, what would the title be?
I thought about this, and I texted a few friends last night, and some of their responses I can't repeat. But it kind of along the lines of, she's not what she seems.
Right. Cool.
Because I've done a lot of different things, and I've you know, traveled the world and got some amazing stories. But I guess, like everybody, on that surface level, when that first meeting, you can't gush at all. You can't. Yeah. Tell them everything all at once. You need that space and that time to feel comfortable to kind of put down the little bit of veil that you might have there. But a lot of people say to me, my God, you're not what I thought you were, or you're not what I imagined, or, gee, you're really different than when I first met you. And wow. So I guess it's that, yeah, she's not quite what she seems.
Yeah,
I'm better. Not worse, I'm better once you get to know me.
Yeah. Cool, love that.
Positive.
Excellent. And when we see that title, we'll be sure not to judge the book by its cover either.
There you go. Perfectly. Perfectly said.
Excellent. And how do you stay productive? What's a productivity hack?
I'm still a paper girl. I'm an old-fashioned paper girl, so I've got the thick diary. I'm not a big calendar computer.
That's right. It's probably coming back in vogue at the moment. Everyone's trying to get off the digital stuff.
I know. I'll be fashionable soon. So I've got a diary, and I'll do back-to-back appointments and meetings and business functions and networking, big on networking. But then I get exhausted. So the week after my big week of appointments, I'll actually physically cross out 2 or 3 days and just write the words off, so they're like days off, so that I know that, okay, I'm working hard, I'm a bit exhausted, a bit tired, but I know I'm going to give myself those mini breaks, because otherwise burnout. So work hard, but then make sure you give yourself a few days at the other end just to do nothing, so you have the option to do stuff if you want to, or you have that option that tomorrow is like mini holidays, mini long weekends throughout the month. I think it's really important to recharge. So I physically cross off days after a busy week, and I do nothing.
Yeah, I think that's really good too, because it's about preventing the burnout. So a lot of people work really hard, hustle, they're doing so much, and then all of a sudden they burn out and they're off for 2-3 weeks just to try and recover. And then that's counterproductive, where this is building in a mechanism that prevents that from happening, because you're self-aware that that can happen. So I think really good solid advice there as well. And one that I've had to follow as well, because I got to points where I was just like, if I don't stop and slow down, I'm going to die.
Literally. They're like recharge days. It's like, you know, recharge your batteries.
Yeah.
You know, have a day of massage or a self day or something, and then go again. And it's like, okay, great. I've had a day off. I feel re-energized. I can do another 10 back-to-back appointments, or I can do a breakfast, lunch, and dinner network meeting. I've got the energy, and I'm refocused again. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, and athletes and fitness people get that because they have rest days. You know, it's about exhausting the muscle and then resting the muscle. But then we don't do that to our body, our entire life, which blows my mind. No. You know,
our brain. Our brain's a big muscle. We need to rest it, overload.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%. So, Madonna, how do people get around, like you mentioned that there's a bit of a process or like an assessment. So how do people get that process started? Obviously, they go to your website. And what type of things do they need to fill out or be prepared with?
There's just it's a hard word to say on a Sunday morning, an eligibility checklist on the website. So it just goes through with each different grant, export grant and R&D grant, and it just helps you tick off basically what you need to be in a position of in terms of your company structure and your spend. If that kind of seems okay, then I guess a quick email to me and then a phone call, because in a 10-minute phone call I can very easily assess where you're at and whether you will be eligible. I can gauge what type of activity you are conducting in your business on a day-to-day basis and what the end result is. If you've got your P&Ls from previous years, I can have a look at those and see, you know, if you do hit that eligible expenditure spend that is required. So pretty much just jump online onto the website and have a little bit more of a read about it. And then if you want to get into contact, there's a submission form on there. And just send me a cheerio and say you heard me on Ray and Razorback, and I'll certainly look after you.
Yeah, awesome. And so how long does the process normally take? Is it something that can get kind of sorted really quickly, or is it a long, drawn-out process?
It's a piece of string.
Okay, cool. So each case.
Case totally different by the time, you know, we meet or we get things sorted. I really like to work on the final financials that your accountant prepares, because if I work on sort of draft P&Ls or draft financials, the figures can change a bit, so we may have to go back and redo something after that. So once that's done, depends on how quick your accountant can get things done. And then we look at the activity throughout the year in the company, what sort of projects you worked on and how involved they are to write things up. So there's a bit of back and forth. Once we've lodged, it's quite quick, but it just depends on how long it's going to take us to lodge. If we get in early before the deadlines, we can have turnaround time from lodgement day to receiving money, 48 hours.
Wow. Okay. So it's the lead up.
So it's the lead up. It's the, you know, extrapolating all the information that's required and the writing of the actual grants, and then the lodgement process itself, the facts and the figures need to be tailored.
Excellent, excellent. And obviously you're around a lot of innovation and people pioneering and creating new things. I know you're a little bit more into health and beauty, but is there an area that you're seeing kind of popping up as a new trend that's kind of, there's a lot of people innovating in a particular space? What is that?
Yeah, it's alcohol.
Wow,
it's the beers, it's the boutique breweries, and it's the distills, you know, the distilleries for the gins and the vodkas. And of course, the Australian wine has always been, you know, beautifully received worldwide. But the boutique beers and gins and vodkas and whiskey, Australia's doing really well, as I said before, in the whiskey. Tasmania is really hitting the strides with all that, because Australia's so fresh and so young, like our soils haven't been depleted quite as much as the rest of the world. We've kind of removed, so we're a little bit fresher and cleaner than some of the other natural resources of the world. So, you know, the world is looking at us for those natural pristine waterways and soils. So government, don't fuck it up.
Yeah, well said. There you go. And yeah, I think it's a perfect note to finish that up on. I won't make that the title though, because we might raise too many eyebrows. But I think you said it really well. You know, it is in, sometimes I feel like it might be in the wrong hands. But, you know, as a group of, you know, people pioneering and companies, we could definitely make a good change to this beautiful country and keep it that way. And, make sure that they don't F it up, you know. So
absolutely, it's up to us. Don't think that your voices aren't heard. You know, it's all well and good to sit back and say, oh, I wish they wouldn't do that, or gee, they should do this. Well, it's like, get out there and let them know. They work for us, and we forget that. You know, we vote these clowns in, and they actually work for us. We pay them, and it's our money that they're spending, so we should be telling them how to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hear, hear.
Whether they listen or not, another story.
Yeah, whether they know that they're working for us is another one.
Yeah, I think they forget.
Excellent. Well, Madonna, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today.
Thank you.
Just for the Razor community to reach out to, what's the website that they can find you at again?
melroseinternational.com.au.
And on Facebook and any other platform?
Facebook is Melrose International Proprietary Limited. But, yes, basically Facebook and website. And
Excellent.
Then all my details are on my website. So, yeah, I'd love to say hi to you all.
Perfect. And the show notes will also have links to the websites, as always. Well, it's been great hanging out. I know that Razor community will get so much value out of what you've shared and opened up their mind, that maybe there is money on the table that they can be taking back and, you know, as you said, their own money as well. So that's really, really good.
Yeah, perfect. Their money, they've spent it, so they're entitled to it back. And the government won't yell it from the rooftops, hey, we've got all this money for you, so you need people like me to direct you where to actually find it.
Yeah, you need to yell it from the rooftops.
Yes, I did. That's what I did. It's like, my God, I can't believe I didn't know about this.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you very much, and until next time, stay sharp.
The Razor Sharp Show is brought to you by Podcast Launch Co. Podcasting tips, tools, and coaching. Visit www.podcastlaunch.co.